I've had the privilege to listen to her sing for, I forgot. A long time. We were married July 14th, 1966, so you figure it out. Okay. It's been a while. It's been a glorious ride. I asked her to sing that particular song. It's one of my favorites that she sings, and praise the Lord for that. Let me see here. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Ephesians this morning, the book of Ephesians. I'll be doing something today that I very rarely do, and that is basically carrying on with the Sunday school lesson I had this morning. I would say to you, if you were not here for that, I would very much like if you would go and find it on YouTube and listen to that, because it deals with the devil, it deals with Satan and his ability. By the way, the only ability he has against you and I is the lie. Bible says he's the father of lies. And you and I, we have the privilege, the marvelous privilege, to be able to defeat him with the truth. Matter of fact, the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free of what? Free of his clutches. And so thank the Lord we have that. We're going to look here in Ephesians chapter number 6. For some of you, it'll be the second time we read it today, but we find here that God speaks of the armor that's available to us to protect us against the wiles of the devil. And seated within these verses are some thoughts that I'd really like for us to go to this morning, especially in lieu of the time of year it is, the season upon us, the things that face our nation as of right now. So if you have your spot there, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your marvelous word. I pray, oh Father, today that you might speak to our hearts. Help us to understand really what's going on in this world of ours. Help us to be able, because of that, be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Strengthen us in our heart and our mind. For some, there may be a need of salvation. For some, there may be the need of sanctification. Lord, I don't know those needs, but you do. And so we pray for the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God in these moments. Cause your word, what you call like a burning fire, to go deep into the hearts. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. If you'd look back with me to verse number 12, please. In verse number 12. We find here that we're to put on this armor, and it says the reason for it. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," that's not our enemy, "but against," notice these words, "principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And so let's notice a few things to begin with this morning, and that first of all is principalities. Principalities. That's a term that basically means it's a state that is ruled by a prince. usually a relatively small state or a state that falls within a larger one, such as an empire. The position or authority of a prince or chief ruler, it's one who has sovereignty or supreme power in the lives of those people, a principality. We find also it refers to powers. And I believe it goes the next step. It's one that rules from the world stage, a world leader, if you so please. And then we find, skipped powers, but reference that is to authorities of jurisdiction and rulers, one that rules the world stage, spiritual wickedness. And it tells us where this is at. It's in the realm of the spiritual. In other words, what we are looking at here this morning is the political being controlled by an underworld. The political world being controlled by an underworld. We're talking about principalities and powers. We're talking about basically nations and states. And we find that there is that which rules over those or leads in that far too often. Our great enemy that has overtaken much of Europe and has a deep foothold in the United States is communism. Understand this morning, there's a difference between socialism and communism. I want you to understand these things because we've got a great battle on our hands. Communism, or socialism, is when all the people share equally. Now that sounds good, but it doesn't work. Communism is basically socialism with a sword. Socialism basically will come in under the vote of the people. Communism comes in with the sword, and basically that's the difference. Now, many people, they believe it was destroyed with the Berlin Wall. But a brief survey of all that has happened in the last 6 months, I believe, proved it has secretly infiltrated much of our society. We find violence and mayhem are present everywhere. They are its instruments to get people to accept it as a way of relief. Remember that. Note something. Communism. It's a devil bent on the destruction of humanity. And the Communist Manifesto says this. A specter. A specter is an idea of something unpleasant. A specter, it says, is haunting Europe, the specter of communism. That's from their own decrees. This term was not a whim on the part of Karl Marx, but it was something that he was attempting to help folks understand as an ideological movement, a political doctrine. Now, his object, or objective, is to cause society to decline. Does that sound like God, or does that sound like Satan? I believe the obvious is there. Much of what we deal with today wasn't even thought of by most folks 50 years ago. Seriously. We find the term abortion. We find that people talk about it. We find it being done, I mean, to the tune of some, I forget how many millions, 46, 47 million babies that have been aborted since the Roe versus Wade. We find that in the last few years, the LGBTQTHIJK have come out of the closet and they're rioting all over our country. By the way, if it occurred in earlier days, it was quickly put down. We didn't find people looting and burning because a perpetrator had killed another one or attempted to kill another one. We didn't have sports figures in Hollywood having rhetoric defending the offender. We didn't have those taking place. But certainly today we find that there is this idea of socialism being promoted, communism, if you please, with its atheism and materialism. It's Darwinianism. It's a philosophy of struggle. And I think that the devil chose Marx to be its envoy among men. And he advocated the violent destruction of private enterprise, social classes, nations, religions, and family. Now, with that in mind, I believe there are two arenas in which the devil, through communism, if you please, socialism, you want to use the word, seeks to destroy and to disrupt. And those two areas specifically are the family and the nation. It seeks to eliminate all barriers between people. It seeks to take down family ties. It seeks to make all under a one world government. That sounds familiar, does it not, as we study Scripture? And so this morning, I'd like for us to stop and look at a little bit more particular as to what he is seeking to do through these principalities and powers to our families. You and I, we belong to a family. We thank God for our families. And we cherish some of the thoughts of them. And one of the things, I'm stubborn. I'm just like my dad. Sometimes we get proud about the wrong things, you know it? And sometimes folks say, well, that's just the way my family is and so forth. But, we thank God for families. But the definition of family is being challenged today. You say, how? And that's being done. Well, could I say same-sex marriages? Could we say through the idea of pedophilia, where now they are pushing for the right of adults to have relationships with youngsters? Could I use the word divorce, which seeks to break up families and has done so in nearly 50% of our families across the country? There are those who practice wife swapping and gender changes. And all of these things have become acceptable. If not acceptable, we don't think about them a whole lot anymore because we have been inundated with it over and over and over. He is seeking to destroy our families. Men are no longer considered the head of the household. And most of our young grow up without a strong male influence. It's a shame that that's not there. Even many Christian wives no longer recognize their role to their husband. Matter of fact, you mention this and sometimes you get snickers. But he is to rule over her and she is to submit. By the way, that's not surrender after a battle. That is realizing what God has put in your life and that you're letting God do what he wants to do. You say, well, how did that come about? Well, let me share with you what it says in Genesis. It says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That has not changed. So I don't like it. Take it up with God. And the reason he did it is because she sought to be the ruler. In the book of Titus, it says, speaking of women, be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. By the way, you stand up here like I have done on many occasions, and you use the word obedient as you're dealing with a wedding ceremony, and look at the faces of people that are out here, and listen to the snickers that come. It would absolutely amaze you. Because it's not thought to be that which is politically correct. Men have been raised by their mothers with little male influence, and they become passive and have not the respect of their children because they have given their due position to a domineering woman. Kind of like what you're talking about. Understand something. We are being inundated by a system that wants to destroy the family. How's that happen? By taking away what God has promoted. Children are not disciplined, often for fear of being arrested, and they become the center of the family. By the way, wife, just a little thought for you. Rather than your children deciding what we have for supper, why not find out what he wants and make them eat it? And all God's men said, amen. We find it youngsters today are so spoiled, they have no backbone. They're like a bunch of whining dogs. All you got to do is look on TV and look at those who are running around acting like ding-dongs and seeking to destroy things and complaining about everything under the sun, and then go back to mom and dad's basement and live off of them. If you think the looters and arsonists running our streets today came out of good homes, then you are a part of the problem. That is not so. Al Wells used to say, many of you remember Brother Wells, he was an evangelist, went to be home with the Lord several years ago, good friend of mine, and he said this: every boy needs a good dog, a good pickup, a good gun, and a good woman. And then he would say this with a glint in his eye. He said, and he better get him in that order or he'll never have them. But what he was trying to say is, we need some boys that grew up to be men. They need to learn how to be a man, to dress like a man, to act like a man. We need our girls to learn how to be a lady, dress like a lady, and act like a lady. We need that in our society. By the way, we're not all one sexual orientation. Neither are we 3 or 10. It's only 2. Male and female created he them. By the way, God gave advantages to both. As the man is the head, listen, ladies, you've got it made. You don't have to make the decisions and worry about it all. That's his problem. I thought there'd be a chorus of women saying, yes, amen. But what is he trying to destroy? The family. That is the stated objective of communism, socialism, is to make all of us one. And that's not the way God intended. Not is he trying to destroy, or is it trying to destroy the family, but also we find it seeking to destroy government. Satan has always used 2 tactics with government. It's very simple if you think about it. Force from without, or revolt from within. That is exactly the tactic that is stated by communism, socialism. The infiltration and gradual erosion of the status quo are the main tactics adopted by their nonviolent strains. And thus, what do we have in our nation? We have attacks on history, from our textbooks being changed to statutes being torn down, all in an effort to forget one's ancestry and uniqueness. If you have no history, you have nothing to live upon. You have no basis. And that's seeking to be destroyed. We find also high taxation serves the same role as the outright state ownership seen under communist regimes. And excessive social welfare is used in place of planned economics. Creating a welfare state is an important aspect of realizing socialism in Western countries. Now, I don't always, or very often, I don't think, get involved in the political things from this pulpit, but we need to understand there's a system out there that is seeking to destroy what you and I have seen in the past in this nation. Some socialists or welfare states in the West today use the idea of the common good to convince the people in that area to sacrifice their individual freedoms. Does that sound familiar? But it's going on. Socialism uses the idea of guaranteeing equality through legislation, while in actuality it drags down moral values and deprives people of freedom that are inclined to go towards goodness. The biggest target of communism, the biggest target of Satan, is to oppose belief in God. Why else are they under great persecution in China today? Why else have literally thousands been killed in places like Russia in the last century? And here's something for us to think about. Though he cannot stop it from without normally, he can subvert it on the inside. Religions have been politicized, commercialized, turned into entertainment centers, sparsed with immoral, corrupt clergy, fallacious interpretations of the Bible, all which work together to mislead their followers. We find under the guise of communism, socialism, they've been successful in graduating students in our nation. In our nation, that which was founded upon Christians' principles with no moral compass, no foundation in their own culture, little sense of responsibility. They adore film and TV stars and waste countless hours with online games and social media. By the way, I'm not against those things. I'm just saying there's a lot wasted on it. But hope is not lost if we can see through the dark shadows of communism and how it's a tool of the devil to destroy. And we can see through those dark shadows and we can repent and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. My Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Consider that phrase, if any man be in Christ. If any man be in Christ, how do you get in Christ? You've accepted him as your Savior. You have put your faith in him. Why would you put your faith in him? Because you saw the rottenness of your sin and you turned to him and sought his forgiveness. And if a man be in him, he's a new creature. God changes things. I've heard people say, I couldn't get saved because I wouldn't be able to live the new life. I wouldn't be able to live like a Christian ought to live. By the way, sometimes I'm thankful folks think that way because a lot of Christians don't. But did you know that he gives you the power to do so? He changes things for you. You become a new creature and all that other stuff passes away. We're about to vote for a president, for senators, for representatives in our country. I believe this election is between capitalism and communism. What is scary is that so many are willing to give up their liberties for socialism, and by next election, I don't think it'll happen this time, but it will probably be voted in. What's happened? We've lost our moral compass, and there's a need. And that need starts right here. Right here in the house of God. There must be a changing of attitude to whereby God becomes a living reality in every life. It's not something we just do on Sunday morning. It's not just going to church. It's not from time to time picking up the Bible and reading a few verses. It's whereby God consumes our life. Living reality. Priorities must be realigned to fit His will, not our own. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And these things need to be realigned. So often, we even pray and say, Lord, if you'll do this, then I know it's your will. Or what we're trying to say is, I'm going to do this, and you do something to show me it's all right. I believe that parents must make their children understand their heritage as that becomes their anchor for life. People must forsake their sin and turn to the Lord and to His morality. There's a need today. There's a need. It's a desperate time in our country. When I believe the devil through, and I'm using the term socialism and communism because he's using these things to destroy from within. And he's seeking to destroy us. And many of the things I spoke of a while ago, when I spoke of the home and spoke of divorce and spoke of wives and their husbands and all of these things, we have become pawns for that kind of state. We must stand upon thus saith the Lord and go with His marching orders. It's the need of the hour. First, I would say to you, if you don't know Christ your Savior, this all probably sounds a little bit foreign to you, but understand this. He's had you in His clutches. You live without God and die without God, you will spend eternity without God. It's just that simple. The choice is ours. But if you recognize your sinfulness and turn to a Savior that wants to forgive us, He will forgive us. My Bible still says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of my sin, which is separation from God for all of eternity. Separated from the devil and all of his cohorts. One day to see him cast into the lake of fire and never ever see him again. The first need is salvation. You might remember as I prayed this morning, it was for sanctification of God's people. There first of all needs to be salvation. But sanctification, a great big word, it simply means we need to be set apart unto God. God uses the term old man and new man. And we must put off the old man and put on the new man. By the way, you'll not do that if you're not saved. And allow Him to have that place in your life where you're set apart unto Him. There's salvation, there's sanctification. And then we can serve Him. Then we can serve Him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning in prayer. Those are to be baptized, if you go right now, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that we can have a Savior. Lord, we look today and we see so much that's seeking to destroy us. Destroy our families. Destroy our nation. Lord, we see where the devil's been very successful. But we're thankful this morning that he does not need to be successful in our life. For You have said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have said that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Lord, I pray this morning that our faith may be released unto You. I pray You'll work in hearts. Do whatever is necessary. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.